can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Phoebe, we always know when the doc is on from Sydney because you magically appear every other week because I think you've got fizzed up a bit by the doc being on. I don't know if you've ever met him, but we did discuss that in the first segment. Doc, you're on the line there. Doc, we did discuss on the first segment, well, we're not sure that Phoebe would be an interruption to the matrimonial home up there, but we know that she is very, very happy when you're on.
Well, I'd like to talk about Phoebe being fizzed up, but can I just start off by saying that after hearing the news from the entire Podbean team that they want to congratulate you cannot be serious on reaching 10 million downloads, you're simply the best. You're better than all the rest. Better than anyone. Anyone I'd ever met. Well done, boys. Congratulations.
And Doc, don't let it be lost on the fact that we have no doubt that our rise to meteoric stardom has because you've been a bi-weekly contributor.
Well, that's right. I mean, when I came along, you were only up to 9.9 million,
Now
you're at 10. So I've pushed you across the line. Now, Phoebe, what does fizzed up mean? Just explain, what is it when a woman is fizzed up?
He's being ridiculous, Ben. You know that.
I know, but you're pretty good at trying to translate Newman talk. Well, what would he be meaning by fizzed up? Does he mean like riled up? Does he mean excited? Does he mean that you're...
He's suggesting that I'm delighted to speak to you every second week and that I make an effort to talk to you and I don't make an effort to come in and talk to them when you're not on the line.
She gets aroused when you come in.
Stop it.
No, I mean mentally.
You know what?
Mentally.
Yes, yes. She is intellectually aroused, and can I just say this? Guilty as charged. I mean, you like talking to me and I like talking to you.
I love talking to you, Ben. And just to assure Sam that we definitely have met in person, so we do know each other, Sam.
Absolutely. And we won't be revealing any details about that encounter. Now, is Don Scott there or is he dead?
He's brain dead, but he's
eating.
Here.
What's he eating?
A chocolate.
Okay. Well, that'll be all we hear from Don during this conversation.
Come on, Don. Geez,
seriously, what's going
why
on?
Did you get
now, listen, Sam.
Yes,
I want to know something, right? I get to the heart of issues. Once you've reached 10 million downloads, I mean, that's pretty amazing. But I want to know, who gave you the idea of starting the podcast? So how did the podcast idea get planted in your head?
That's a very good question. I play golf with the ex-coach of St Kilda, a man called Grant Thomas. He played for North Melbourne and he played for North Melbourne. That's who he played for, didn't he, Don?
No, he played for Fitzroy and St Kilda.
Anyhow,
he was a...
So I played golf with him...
A mercenary.
I played golf with him every week and I used to drive him down to play golf. This is 5 years ago or 6 years ago. And when we finished, when the trip takes about an hour and a half, and when we got there, we'd been chatting about a whole lot of things, and he said, why don't we have a podcast or start a podcast? And I said, about what? I said, about the thing, he said, about the things we've been speaking about in the car. And I said, well, what have we been speaking about? And he said, well, I'll show you. And he had been recording our conversation in the car. And he said, that stuff there, he said, that's you talk about everyday things and what pisses you off and you make comments on drivers and litter and graffiti. And he said, why don't – and I said, all right. So that's how it started. And then we did it with Mick Sheehan and then Mick – Grant is a very...
He cancelled himself. Mick cancelled himself.
And Grant indirectly cancelled me because, and we're very good friends, but he is an IT, he is a genius, Grant. He started a banking app and got paid, I'm not mentioning anything that isn't public knowledge, got paid $150 million for the app. And I came on dressed as a woman one day and said, this is when the trans thing was on, and I had lipstick on and a wig, and I said, I'm going to pretend I'm a woman, or I'm going to trans into being a woman, and I'm going to play on the women's golf tour. And he got a bit shaky about that because he thought, this is not good for his business if I'm taking the urine out of all these politically incorrect things. So we agreed. I said, well, I don't want to put your business in jeopardy. So we agreed to stop doing it. And I started it then with Don and Mick Sheehan, who jumped into the lifeboat after an unfortunate court case. And scurried away. And so that's what we've been doing ever since.
Yeah, I mean, we know that cancel culture is alive and well, but there aren't too many people who cancel themselves. But Mick obviously made the call that he just wanted to cancel himself, which is, I suppose, his call. But funnily enough, when I listen to the podcast every Wednesday, the image that comes up has still got Mick in the image with the cat's head.
It's because we're not tech savvy enough to remove him from it. He's asked to be removed from it. At least we put the cat's head over his bonce. But we don't know how to take a new photo and have it posted on our website or whatever we do. And we might examine that a little further because it is redundant. We could put you on.
If you still had the $170 million IT expert who was in the tent, then he'd be able to help you with that, surely.
The 100 and what?
That is a very good point, Ben.
What the Who's, rock?
Oh, there you go.
The Who? Rock.
She's fizzed up. She's fizzed up.
I've woken up.
So could we put could we put your head on, take the cat's head off and put yours on to say you're part of it?
No, I'm not replacing a cat. I'd leave it there. I think it's intriguing. When you see the image, I think it you know, invokes curiosity, and I wouldn't worry about it. No. I'd just leave it exactly how it is. Can I tell you something that's happened on Sydney radio this morning? And for a change, I'm not going to tell you about my own radio show. I'm going to tell you about one of my rivals. So on the ABC this morning on Radio National, they went on strike, right? So they had a recorded announcement saying that the staff are on strike. So instead of broadcasting as they would normally broadcast and service the listeners who are tuning in trying to find out what's going on, they were left with these news bulletins on rotation and no host hosting on Radio National. So what I did on 2GB this morning, and I put a podcast of this up on my podcast feed, is I just started playing elevator music just to try and replicate what the ABC were doing this morning. But can you imagine? You've got people tuning in to find out what's going on, and you go on strike and don't do your show. And what about this? They put out a memo to ABC staff to say, look, for those who work from home, we would like you to come into work today for the industrial action. Have you ever heard of anything more ridiculous in your life?
What are they?
We need you to come to work so that you can't work.
What are they on strike over? Pay.
They want more money. They want more money.
Well, you've got it all. And now, you were called up to the office a fortnight ago. You said, I've got to go up to the office, and we thought it might be. What did you have to go up to the office for? And now, how are you up? I only know this because it's been relayed to us that Kyle and what's his name? Kyle and Jackie O. They've had a small win over the great Ben Fordham.
Oh, yeah, We go
it's cyclical, isn't it?
Tick-tack and up and down, and we've had, I don't know how many times I've gone head-to-head with them, about 18 or something like that, and I think I've come out on top, I don't know, 15 times or something, and they've been three. And look, I'm probably a little bit off on those numbers, but it's something like that. But, mate, they are both very, very good broadcasters, very experienced. As soon as the ratings came through, I called them both straight away, and Jackie's just recently purchased a $13 million house. So as I said to Jackie, well, we know that you work hard and you get the results, which is why you can afford to splash out $13 million on a house. I wish I could. But no, the meeting was all good. It was before that, and it was just a bit of a discussion about life and times. And once in a while, Sam, the bosses want to have a frank and open discussion with me. And I also want to have a frank and open discussion with them about the way things are going and what we can be doing better. And, you know, I've got very high standards, and I've got a team who work with me who are just absolutely exceptional.
Fantastic.
So I want to make sure that I'm advocating on behalf of them as well. And if there are systems in place that I don't think are working, then I raise issues and concerns about them. And you're going to find this hard to believe, Phoebe, but sometimes the bosses have issues and concerns about me, and they like to raise them with me as well. So So, no, it was all good. I think when you've got a good relationship with the boss, you can say in a meeting like that, all right, the door's shut. We're all friends. So let's not beat around the bush. Let's all tell each other exactly what we think, and then hopefully you can sort out some of those little issues that come up along the way. But, yeah, the ABC's on strike today. The workers who are working from home have been told to come into the office. What do you guys think about the working from home thing? And, look, I'm reluctant to drag Don into this because he might have moved on from a chocolate bar to a muesli bar. But, Don, have you got a view on the whole working from home phenomenon?
Don's got wind as we speak. His eyes have gone cross-eyed. So go on, Don, add to this.
It's bullshit in one word.
Oh, Ben, okay. Ben, I work
There's
from home.
Don Scott. You work from home. And how does it work for you?
Well, I'm a contributor, so I work – I do have a desk in the office, but I predominantly work from home, my home office. It has its benefits and it definitely has negatives. I think routine is good, and I actually think being in a routine where you have to be in an office at a certain time and you're surrounded by colleagues is actually very good. I think it's actually it improves from a media point of view. I think it improves your output because there's just more stimulus around you and more conversation going on and more people who you can bounce ideas off. So while I enjoy working from home, I really do acknowledge that there are considerable benefits being in a working professional environment in the city.
So, Doc, wouldn't you far rather eyeball someone you're speaking to than have a discussion with them over the phone? I'm hopeless over the phone. I'm not too good otherwise, either, but I'd rather look at people in the eye.
Every day of the week, Sam. I think in the creative space, having that environment where everyone can throw ideas around and challenge each other and say, look, is that the best headline on that, or you know, what are we putting up on the social media site, or what's on the podcast feed? What are we doing? How are we handling it? What do we do next? That's very hard when people are sitting at home behind their desk at home or doing whatever they do at home. Having said that, I've got friends who work in the sales space and they reckon that their productivity and their success has gone up since they've worked at home because they don't have the distractions that are sometimes there in the office. You know, those people who walk up to your desk and go, so how are you? You go, yeah, I'm good.
I hate them. Yes.
What are you up to? Oh, I'm working. What do you got on this weekend? You know, I mean, there's only so many times you can have those conversations. But I know that when coronavirus happened and lockdown happened, the 2GB said to all of its hosts, look, we'll set up home studios for each of you. So in the event that you want to work from home, you can. And I just said to them, look, you can set it up, but I won't be using it. I've never broadcast from home. I wouldn't rule it out at some stage, but I just felt like in the battle that I'm in every day, because I'm up against some really talented and tough professionals on the radio dial at breakfast time in Sydney, I need every advantage I can get. So one of those advantages is being around the people who I love being around and love working with. And if we can improve each other and challenge each other, then that's got to be a must. So I'm sure there are some people like you, Phoebe. You probably have a greater chance to make phone calls, find out information, connect with people when you are at home and you don't have all the other distractions at work. So who are the most annoying people in the office there at the Herald Sun? Let's name and shame them.
No, I would never name and shame. But as I said, there are benefits and there are negatives.
Are you dodging the question?
Yes,
I am. Are you dodging the question?
Yes, I would not do
that. Who's the editor of the Herald Sun?
Well, my editor is Nick Papps. He's the editor of the Sunday Herald Sun, and I publish for the Sunday Herald Sun.
What's his name? Nick Papps.
Nick Papps. I've worked for Nick for going on 7 years now. I have known Nick for the best part of 20 years, and I think he's a terrific. I say this quite openly and quite honestly. He's a terrific guy, and I enjoy working
Phoebe,
for him.
Please,
I would not comment. If I had thought otherwise, stop it.
Hey, boys, ease up, because I can relate to this because I've sucked up to bosses my entire career.
See, now this is, you are allowed to like your boss. Yeah. This is the thing that bugs me about the world. You know, people wander around
and... to war with you, Phoebe.
Oh, shush, Don.
Shut up, Don.
You know, there's this perception that you're not allowed to actually like the people you work for, like the people you work with, or like your boss. That's actually ridiculous.
I've got no issue with people who choose to fall in love with the boss or sleep with the boss. I mean, you know, as long as you can make sure that there are clear lines of communication and you understand your personal life and your professional life, And I'm not suggesting that that's happening in this case.
I was going to say, that's a quantum
just
leap.
To be clear, the editor is Nick Paps with an S on the end.
Yes, with a Paps.
P-A-P-P-S.
And Nick, if you're listening, right. Nick will probably listen to this, so don't say anything rude.
All right. Well, I've got a message for Nick Paps. Nick, we've got a lot of time for you. You enjoy the support of Sam and Don and myself. But I'm telling you what, Nick, if you double cross Phoebe at any point, we're all going to come after you. All coming after Nick Paps.
Now, Ben, be quiet. Ben, are you coming down to Melbourne for the Grand Prix? I want to know if you're in town for the Grand Prix.
Jodie won't let him down here with you around.
No, I won't be making it there for the Grand Prix, but you know what? I promise you I am going to make it to Melbourne this year, and I'm going to black out a Friday, take all three of you to lunch.
Yes.
And, you know, Mike Sheehan, he might even join us as well.
Rob Law. What about Jacinta?
Ivan, the great Ivan. Many of the other people who have been part of the podcast over the years. Because they all deserve some credit as well for getting to 10 million downloads.
Now, listen, Benny, can I ask you a serious question? Benny. I've just got a butt in here. Now, I'm a bit of a sports fan. And we get no coverage down here. And what's intriguing me is your rugby league. I hope you're a cross sport. Tell me, why are the Dolphins on top of the rugby league ladder? They are the startup team in Brisbane, and they've played.
I'll give you two words.
What?
Two-word answer.
Don't tell me Wayne Bennett.
Okay, well, I'll tell you something that you don't know and that not everyone knows, right? When Peter Volandis, the boss of rugby league, was granting a new franchise, he thought to himself, this is only going to work if we have one of those super coaches at the helm. So he made it a condition of the Redcliffe Dolphins, which are based in Queensland, entering the National Rugby League, that they must have Wayne Bennett signed on as coach. I think there might have been two or three coaches who he regarded in that super coach category, but they were interested in Wayne Bennett. Wayne Bennett was apparently flirting with the idea of coaching a club again, but Peter Volandis made it a rule. He said, you will only get the franchise if you've got Wayne Bennett signed on the dotted line. And he made that clear to Wayne as well. And when you have a coach of his calibre, you can attract the right players.
Oh, I see. Now, I was going to ask about the players. Did they get any concessions?
Yes, because they cherry-picked the available talent.
No. Oh, let me tell you, it's not actually a team of superstars. But Wayne Bennett has this thing where he's a very, very quiet, considered gentleman, and he has a way of looking people in the eyes and giving them truth bombs, but also making them feel good about it at the end. There was a player who said recently, I've never come across a coach who can pull you aside, tell you you're a complete F-wit, and make you feel good about it at the end. So he's got this magic formula, Wayne Bennett, that allows him to get the best out of people, challenge young people, and let them know he's big into training. So I know that training is part of professional sport, but he's got a theory as well. He goes, if you don't turn up to training like it's game day, forget about it, don't even show up. So he puts as much effort into every training session as the players should be when they run out onto the field, and he is a freak of a coach. It's the way he's always been.
There's an old saying, Doc, you got to get people to play for you and not in spite of you. And if they respect you, that's the way.
Yeah, and I'll give you another idea, Don, because you're a bit of a country bloke and you've got an interest in, you know, agriculture and things like that, after they won their first game. Now, keep in mind that people weren't giving them much of a hope of winning the first game, let alone three in a row as they've now won. And he is notoriously prickly when it comes to the media, Wayne Bennett, right? So he tends not to do interviews unless he must do interviews. So this is what I sent him on the day of the game. I said to him, I sent him a note wishing him the best of luck for the game. And then I sent him a note afterwards saying, mate, congratulations. Any chance of a chat on 2GB at 8:15 tomorrow? He goes, Ben, I'm going bush. And that was it, right? So he won his first game, And instead of jumping on the radio and talking about how wonderful he is and how inspiring he is as a coach, he did what he always does, which is get in the car, and he's got cattle. So he went bush and he went and disappeared for a few days. And then I sent him a note saying, look, when are you good for a chat? Are you back from the bush? And then he said to me, mate, I'm not talking at the moment. It'll be a while before I say anything outside of press conferences that I have to attend. All the best, Wayne. So, you know, he's a no-nonsense bloke. Yeah, but I respect people who know who they are, know what they want to do,
correct,
and know that this is not really going to help his cause by going on the radio and then being drawn into a situation where, oh, no, we're going good, we're going to nail it, we're going to win 3 from 3. That was after 1 from 1. Then he went 2 from 2. Now he's gone 3 from 3. And I'm not a gambler, but I've got $50 on them to win the premiership this year.
Oh, what?
Gee, don't overdo it.
They've got to overcome the Broncos this week, don't they?
Yeah, they've got the Broncos this week, and that's a club that Wayne used to coach. And now the bloke who's coaching them, Kevvy Walters, is a bloke who used to be mentored by Wayne Bennett. So, look, it's going to be a
you've gone a bit early, clash Doc. For them.
But you guys, no, I know, but because I don't gamble, you know, I'm not a gambler. I only, you know, if I see odds that are out of this world, and if I think that there's a slight chance that it might come through, then I think, all right, I'll put $50 on, and then that'll be, you know, one of 2 or 3 bets that I might have for the year.
Now,
but
Doc,
who are the AFL coaches? Let me ask you this: if you had to name 1 or 2 AFL coaches who fall into that super coach category, who would they be?
Alistair Clarkson, who's just taken on the bottom side, North Melbourne, and had their first victory last week.
Yep.
He's embroiled in that sort of Indigenous saga with Hawthorn, which was a absolute crock of nonsense. And possibly, I suppose you'd have to say Chris Scott from Geelong, because he's the reigning premiership coach. Who else, Don? I'm not really over it all. Who is it?
Historically, Mick Malthouse.
Damien Hardwick, he's coaching Richmond still. He's terrific.
Well, Mick Malthouse is not in it anymore.
I've got a theory, Ben. I don't
think... That's why I said historically, but of all time, just very quickly, what about all time? Who would be the person? For example, we had a...
Well, I think you've got 2 of them in rugby league, and I think longevity is evident of that, is evidence, and that is... Oh God, Craig Bellamy. Now
Now
the AFL players coaches are not around as long as some of your rugby league fellows, especially Bennett and also Craig Bellamy. So I think those fellows must be outstanding.
That's not really right.
Well, who? Give me.
Well, the Geelong coach has been there for 12 years. Mark Thompson was there for 11. There's plenty of people.
Well, I don't. Oh, but Bellamy, anyway.
And Doc, before you go, MichaelChristianMenswear.com wants to know, on behalf of Kylie, she said she sent you an apron with "You cannot be serious" to 2GB. Did you get it?
I did, but I've only got one complaint. When I'm wearing it,
you can see the plums.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very cold down below, like my backside and you know, the delicate areas of my body. Are you supposed to be naked, right, when you're wearing it?
I think you cover the plums up in case you go down for the cutlets or something, or the sausages. And
yeah, it was just embarrassing because we had people over and, you know, I just could sense that they were uncomfortable.
Yes, no, I agree. So you think it should be a little longer, do you, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, otherwise...
It'd be down around your ankles to cover the plums, wouldn't it?
None of my guests were fizzed up, so to speak. They seemed like they were a little bit... They felt like they were a little bit self-conscious or something like that while it was all going on.
Did you happen to hear last week, and we're not deliberately gratuitous...
I listen to every podcast.
Did you hear that the term that they used, we didn't use, was choke the chicken? They said you should do it 21... This was the... European Urology University said that you should choke the chicken 21 times a month to stave off prostate cancer. Did you, are you in that category, Doc, or do you just get someone to give you a hand?
Check for prostate cancer.
Hey, Phoebe, who's going to the Grand Prix?
I was hoping you were, Ben.
I love you, boys and girls. Yeah,
thank you, Doc.
Thank you, Ben.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. You're simply the best. Better than all the rest.
Who sings that?
Tina Turner.
Oh, of course, I couldn't think of that. Righto.
Well, he's just a star. What a wonderful opportunity to chat
to
him every 2 weeks.
Hands, rub her hands in the air. This girl's getting off on it. Come on.
No, you've gone overboard.
Yes,
Phoebe.
Come on, maintain a bit of dignity.
Extraordinary. No.
Coming from you. You ate the whole way through that conversation.
Oh, righto. Now, look. So that's that. So we're going to ring off now, Don, and ring off. We're going to close off, and we've got our a keynote interview coming in. You've organised this person to come in, so I'm going to start it off like I always do, because if I leave it to you, you say, oh, yeah, welcome. And I say, no, Don, tell us who this person is and what this person's done. Yeah, well, you do it. No, I said, you do it, Don. He said, well, I've got a first question. No, give people
the
opportunity.
Come on, wind it up.
Right.